Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Hey boy, don't go too far. Grace here. Plenty of grass here. Thirsty? We will go to the pool later. Green grass. Streams of water. The desert over there. And the occasional sandstorm. But who cares? God has given us this piece of land beyond the River Jordan. I am contented.
Benjamin.
Uh-oh.
Benjamin, just where do you think you're going?
Morning, Uncle. I was just looking for a lost sheep.
Son, why are you still grazing your sheep here? You know that in 2 days' time we're crossing the River Jordan. Come on, we need to get going.
But Uncle, I don't want to go. I like it here. And my sheep, you like it here too.
God has given us a land flowing with milk and honey. Once we cross the river, that land is ours. What is that compared to this side of the Jordan?
Well, that is if we are not killed by the giants. It's not as though they're gonna welcome us with open arms. They will definitely fight with us. And I heard that they're really fierce. And big too!
So you're afraid. What did God say? Have I not commanded you? Be strong, very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whenever you go.
But I've never been to a battle before.
And all the more we should trust God and believe in His protection that He will lead us to victory.
But will God help us?
Has God not helped us? God, who appeared to us as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
You mean the God that sent the 10 plagues, that parted the Red Sea, rescued us, and destroyed the Egyptian army?
Yes.
Wow, that's our God.
Yes, and besides, Joshua is leading us in battle.
Oh, Uncle, Joshua is my hero. You know, he is so brave. And you know that, I really like it.
Yes, Joshua is a good man. He's a man of God and he'll lead us well. Son, it's time for you to put all that training into good use. Come. Just imagine, after the battle, all that land is ours. The ground is fertile. We will grow vegetables and eat meat every day. You will not need to hunt for quail or eat manna anymore.
Does that mean we can drink wine every day?
Yes, of course. And you will get the chance to marry Miriam and start a family.
Miriam, my house, my own land, my sheep. Wait, many sheep. Little Benjamins and Miriam running around. Oh, Uncle, this is so exciting. Yes. But how I wish Papa and Mama are here with us.
I wish for that too. But they had the chance to enter the Promised Land and they didn't choose it. So, it's our turn now.
Yes, God, I will obey you.
Alright, you know what to do? Come, let's go. We need to get going. And bring the sheep along.
Let's go, boys. We're going to fight the giants of the land. And God will help us. So, Uncle, is it true that this land is really flowing with milk and honey?
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. O hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, all of you. And I normally don't wish people Shabbat Shalom on Sunday morning because it's not the Sabbath, but this is different because this whole year is the Sabbath, so Shabbat Shalom to all of you. Shabbat Shalom, which means, you know, the peace of Sabbath, and Shana Tov, right? Shana is year Tov, is good. It's like Jewish way of saying Happy New Year, alright? So Shana Tov to you. Shana Tov. Shana Tov. Good, good, good. We'll learn more, okay? Then we can say also, Yovel Ha Shana Ratzon, okay? Which really means, I'm just kidding. That means Jubilee, the year of God's favor, okay? The year of favor. Well, you know, let me just welcome our guests who are with us this morning. If you're new with Church Our Savior, this is not our regular program. This is our beginning of the year of Jubilee program, alright? And we want to welcome you. If you are guests with us this morning, you're visiting with us, good morning to come with us, alright? Can you just wave your hands wherever you are so our ushers can come by and give you our visitor pack? Anyone here, guests, visitors this morning, upstairs or downstairs? Okay, okay, couple of hands. Just keep that up, right? And back there as well. We welcome you. We welcome you to Church Our Savior. And, you know, we're very happy. Anyone else? Up front here, a couple? Yeah. Right in the middle. So we're going to have to reach all the way to you. But don't worry, we'll come to you. Alright, your visit is important to us. We would like you to, you know, inside the pack, find a card where you can fill up some of your details so that we can stay in touch with you. You can keep the CD and the rest of stuff for you to read. We also welcome you to join us for our services on Saturday as well as Sunday, whichever works out for you. Alright? But today is a very special day. In fact, the words that I just prayed just now were the opening verses of Moses' song. You see, the children of Israel have been wandering for a long time. They have been around 40 years. They have been wandering through the wilderness. And at this point of time, they had come to the end of Moses' life. The only time they had been at this sort of place was 40 years ago when they were at Kadesh Barnea. They sent the spies out in the land. The spies came back and said, you know, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but the giants were in the land, all right? And, you know, they're strong and they didn't want to go in. And that whole generation had died. Even Aaron at this point had died. And now they had come to Mount Nebo. They climbed up Mount Nebo. God instructed Moses to ascend on Mount Nebo. And as they get up to the top of Mount Nebo, they are overlooking the whole valley, the Jordan Valley. And it was a lush valley. All the green, all the greenery down the valley. Across, they could see, not so far away. They could just see right there. Probably from here to, I guess, Holland Village, right? They could see, well, maybe a little bit further, Jericho. A bit beyond that, they could see Ai. And then they could also see all the mountains that stretch all the way from Dan in the north down to the south. They could see the whole land that God has promised them. But you know what? They were not going to go in. They could not go in. Well, not Moses anyway. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. By the way, my prayer came from the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 32, but now we're reading verse 48. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day. Okay, this happened on that last day. And said, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. And die on the mountain which you ascend. And be gathered to your people just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. 40 years, a whole group of people, a whole nation, if you like, waited for this moment. But you know what's poignant about this morning? Because this morning, Singapore has waited 50 years. We have waited 50 years for our own Jubilee, our own moment of entering into this Sabbath promise of God. So this is a great morning, isn't it? Amen? I'm not sure if it grips your heart. You know, I'm not a Singaporean. I'm a PR on the way. You know, well, sort of half Singaporean, right? But it grips my heart to think that 50 years, most of you will never see another Jubilee. I'm not saying that you won't live long, but you know, I mean, frankly, it's a long time more before it comes around again, alright? So this is a really special day, right? And Moses, at that moment, was looking over and he realized that he was not going in. First lesson, okay, before we get into the rest of it, first lesson that we can learn from this, why didn't they enter into the promised land? It is the promised land after all, isn't it? God promised them. How come they didn't enter? Very easy. They disobeyed God. Think about this. Moses spoke to God face to face. In Exodus 33, it tells us. He spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Right? God speaks to Moses. He's a friend of God. Not only that, in Deuteronomy, we are told that after Moses, after he died, there were no other prophets who arose who was like him. Right? Here was one. This man who was so unique and so outstanding among all the men of God, even he could not enter the promised land. What mistake did he make? He disobeyed God. Now think about this. If even Moses was denied the promised land, which was already promised, because of disobedience, how much more will we ourselves be denied God's promise because of disobedience? Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we think, how come God didn't promise? God has already promised you stuff. Sometimes the problem is because of our disobedience. And because of that disobedience, you can't enter into what God has already planned for you. God has blessings, has a land of promises. God has a plan for us. We can't get into it because of disobedience. So the first thing we need to get our way. Because the reason why that first generation could not enter into the land was because of disobedience. And it will be the reason why we cannot enter into God's plan and promises for us is also because of disobedience. So this morning, we're going to get that out of the way. We must not be disobedient. Amen? In your life, think about this. Don't be disobedient. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be disobedient. Okay? Just get that out of the way, out of the system, because you think that one thing is going to disqualify you. Alright? You can say, but you know, I'm weak. You're never disqualified before because you're weak. Yeah, because I'm unable. You're not disqualified because you're unable. You're not disqualified because you're not good at something. But if you are disobedient, that will disqualify you. Alright? So if you want to enter in the promise of God, don't be disobedient. Alright? Let's kind of look at it a little bit. Chapter 34 and verse 1. Alright? Then Moses, he goes up, as God told him, he goes up to this mountain, to the top of Mount Nebo, the top of Pisgah. Alright? There's this point there called Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, that's way up north, Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, that would be the Mediterranean, and south, the plain of Jericho and the city of Palm as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Because disobedience. Alright? Because of disobedience. Alright, so now today, I want to, you know, cross over, as it were, from Deuteronomy into Joshua with all of you. So if you have your Bibles, just go on to the next chapter. Because we are, as we are entering into this new year, we are also crossing and we're trying to discover these principles that will help us to fully enter into God's promise. So this morning, I want to talk to you about six principles that will help us to enter into God's promise. Okay? Six ways that can ensure that we can enter into God's promise. Very important. Okay? Not five ways, not four ways, not three ways. Every one of these six are very important. Alright? So in Joshua, let's begin from Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. You know, kind of funny name, the son of Nun. Okay, never mind. Let's not go there today. Moses' assistant saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. For every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Okay, the first principle that you need to remember as you enter into God's promise is that God is with you. Amen? God is with you. Now we're not entering this because we are great. We're entering this because God is with us. If not for God, we're not going anywhere. Okay? God is with us. You know, you think about this. As you go through your year, sometimes you encounter hardships, difficulties. You run yourself into valleys. You find dark clouds over you. In those moments, sometimes we wonder, I wonder where God is. Is God really helping me? Maybe out of the 7 billion or so people in the world, He's forgotten me. Just one little me. Isn't it? We are tempted to believe that, you know, God has forsaken and abandoned us. But you know what? We are reminded that God will not forsake us. He is with us. Amen? So whatever situation you're facing today, whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever struggles, whatever things that you might be going through in your relationships, whatever it is, the thing that you need to remember if you're going to enter into God's promise is that God is with us. God is with you. Amen? Amen? Would you say God is with me? Okay, I hope you believe that because God really is with you. Alright, that's the first thing. Let's keep on going. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Not once, not twice, 3 times, and actually even 4 times you read really carefully, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and be very courageous. You know, courage is so important to a Christian. Sometimes I think Christians think that, you know, we are kind of like small people, right? We are scared and we are not very strong. No, that is not how God wants you to be. God wants you to be strong and very courageous. All right? You will face the giants of the land and your heart will not melt. But sometimes, you know, Christians, we, in the face of trouble, our heart melts away. We see the giants of the land and we think we are like grasshoppers. This is the problem of the first generation, right? They look at the challenges of the land and they felt we are so small. The challenge is so big. The giants are so big. Look at me. You know, I'm an Asian. I'm so small. All right. And they get worried. They think that I can't do it. Their hearts melt away. Well, today, if you're going to enter into God's promise, your heart has to be strong and very courageous. Amen. I mean, you have to find within yourself and say, you know, I will be strong. I will not be intimidated because God is with me. Right? The problem may be bigger than you, but God is bigger than any problem. Amen? So let your faith rise up above the flood waters. Do not be drawn by it. Amen? Amen. You have to be strong. Okay? Finally, now, some of us are habitually weak. We keep, you know, thinking that we are weak, we cannot do this, you have all those negative things. No, listen, it is true. We might not be very strong, but in Christ, all things are possible. Amen? So the strength is not your strength. It is God's strength in us. Be strong and very courageous. Turn to your other neighbor and say, be strong. Okay, so let's keep going on here a little bit, all right? Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law, right? Not some of the law, but all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Third principle, okay? I think I'm on number 3 now. Third principle is you have to obey the Lord, okay? It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. The reason why they didn't go in was because they disobeyed the Lord. Here, they are told, they are commanded to obey the Lord. Obey the word of God. The laws of Moses were a representation of God's rule. God rules His kingdom by means of His laws, right? So, obey the Lord. Obey the commandments of God. You know, some of us have difficulty obeying God, right? Because we have a lot of our own ideas how to. But, well, you know what? When God tells us to do something, the best thing you can do is to obey. Because when you do obey, the Bible says, you'll be prosperous. You'll be successful, right? What's interesting here, in verse 8, you look very carefully at verse 8, it says this, right? For then, you will make your way prosperous. Okay, let me ask you, listen, right? Who will make your way prosperous? Think about this for a second, right? Who will make your way prosperous? What does the text say? You know, not the Lord will make your way. What does that tell us? It tells us that God has already blessed you, has already given us the keys to success. He has already laid before us a way of blessing and a way of cursing, all right? So it's up to you. The ball is in your court. So it's really up to you, you know. You, some people tell me, Pastor, I think God didn't bless me. You know what? God already blessed you, right? Jesus already died for you on the cross of Calvary. He has already done what you cannot do. He's given you everything you need. Today, if you want success, how many of you would like to have some success and prosperity, right? Okay, nothing wrong with prosperity. It's not the prosperity gospel. This is very anchored in God's word, all right? Now, if you want that, here's what you got to do. You will give you success if you abide by the word of God. You meditate on His word day and night. Day and night is how many days and nights are we talking about here? 200 out of 365? No, every day, 365 days, right? Day and night, obey the Lord and you will have success, okay? So obeying is important, right? Everyone say obey. Okay, so that's the third thing. Let's keep on going a little bit here, right? Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the camp and command the people saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So before you can go in, right, you need to prepare. Everyone say prepare. You know, we need to prepare. I'm not sure. I guess it's common sense. Everyone knows we need to prepare, right? Preparation is so important for success. You know, some of you, maybe you have experienced this. You're moving a house, right? You're moving from your small little house to a new big house. Do you notice something interesting? Small house, all the things you take out cannot fit into your big house. Have you experienced this? You wonder where all the extra things come from, right? You move from a small room to a bigger room. Suddenly, how come all this cannot fit, right? What's going on here? Well, because you need to do some spring cleaning. You need to do some preparation. Before you enter into a new place, you need to get rid of some old stuff, you know, so that you don't carry all of them into a new year. We are going into the year 2015. Frankly, there are lots of stuff that you don't want, baggage that you don't want to bring into the new year. Am I right? Pain from the past that you don't want to bring in the new year. Some of us go around, we can't let go of this old stuff, you know, like collect plastic bag, right? Oh, this one from 1976, right? Original Emporium, no more, you know, the original plastic bag. You know, you don't want to carry these things into what God wants. You know, new wine demands new wine skin. Is that right? So if you're going to enter into something new, you're going to have to change that preparation, that change within your heart to accept what is new. It means that attitudes will need to be changed. Right? Because some of us, we carry old attitudes. You know, old attitudes are going to keep you in the old place. The children of Israel, you know what their favorite pastime, national pastime was, right? Complaining. That's what it was, right? The quail, not enough meat, la, no water, la, too hot, too dry. You know, all these things they were complaining over and over. That was why God so fed up with them. God got so fed up with them because they were always complaining. That was an attitude that kept them trapped in that old place, right? But you know what? As you go into a new year, you need to have a change of attitude. You know, someone says the attitude is a bit like diapers, right? Right? After a while, it starts to sting if you don't change it, right? So we need to change your attitude, right? So that we can have an attitude of gratitude instead. Instead of complaining, you know, how come our church aircon not cold enough, you know, how come we don't have car park construction so much? All these things, yes, it's true. But it's true for everybody. The rain, you know, gratitude, good attitude, right? Glorifies God. Amen? It glorifies God. It doesn't glorify God when we are complaining all the time. Praise the Lord, you know, I came out yesterday, it rained on me. Yeah. This morning I came out, I brought umbrella, it didn't rain. Now I have to carry umbrella around. You know, this doesn't glorify God at all. Okay? If you want to glorify God, you make sure you have an attitude that glorifies God. That looks at what God is doing, rather than complain that certain things are not going. Now look, rain and sunshine falls on everybody alike. The only difference is our attitude. Right? If you want to give God glory, don't complain about the rain, the sun. Complain about your own attitude. So, as you enter in the land, prepare. Right? Prepare our attitudes. Well, you know, you look down in verse 16, that's exactly what the people did. They responded, they said to Joshua, right? All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. We're not going to complain anymore. Okay? We're done with complaining. The complaining people were back in that land. We are going to go in a new land. It's going to be a whole new attitude. And I hope that it's true for all of you. Because you know what? That change of attitude is going to be a key of your own breakthrough. Right? You're going to be stagnating for years if you don't change your attitude. But this year, the year of Jubilee is a year of freedom. Freed from our past bad attitudes. We're going to take on God's favor, we're going to take on a fresh attitude so that God will be able to do new things in your life. Amen? Okay, so that's number four. Is that number four now? Are you guys counting? Right? The first one is, God is with us. Second, we have to be strong and courageous, right? Third of all, we have to keep, we have to obey the word of God. Fourth of all, we need to prepare our hearts. Prepare yourselves, right? So that you're not caught unprepared like the five virgins were not prepared. Not enough. They missed the promise. They missed the boat. The boat came and went already. And then they came back. Oh, sorry, we're too late, right? Don't do that. Don't miss it, right? Be prepared. All right, chapter number five. Let's go to chapter three. Then Joshua arose early in the morning, right? And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Okay, now what does the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord represent? It represents God's presence. Okay, so this is, when you see that, the symbol, the sign of God's presence, right? And the priests were carrying that, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Okay? So, when you see God move, what are you to do? You have to move. Okay? Follow God's timing. Don't be too fast. Don't go before it. Don't go after it. When God says go, we all go. Now, you know, as a parent, sometimes, you know, you bring kids around and kids can be, you know, they've got their own ways, their kid ways, right? So imagine a dad. You have to bring two kids. They walk up on the street to a traffic stop. The pedestrian light is red color, right? And you say, stop. But your achong and a boy, huh? They go, keep walking. And say, stop! A boy, stop! Okay, achong, atim. I don't know what they call kids nowadays. I'm sure they don't call them these terrible names. But, you know, a boy, stop! And then the kid keeps going, okay? Dad, why stop? Okay, keep walking, huh? Why stop? Because it's red light. Red light, why must stop? You know, you keep going like this, pretty soon, a red Ferrari is going to show up, okay? And then you won't have a boy anymore, okay? Right? You know, when God says stop, you just have to learn to trust it. You know, it's okay to ask questions, but obey, then ask questions. God says go. Okay, you go. You don't know why, you can ask questions. Why are we going? Never mind. You can ask anything you want as long as you go. Abraham, same thing. He didn't know where he was going, right? He went. Well, I'm sure along the way he asked God, God, where are we going? As long as you go, right? So remember, follow God's timing. Follow God's leading. Amen? Amen? Well, you know what? It's not just, you know, I suppose it's easy to follow God's leading because we're here, right? But every time you follow God, eventually you're going to come to a place where you're going to need faith. You're going to need faith. Because to follow God requires faith, right? So what happens to these people? Well, Joshua wakes up the next morning, right? And they walk all the way, right? They wake up and they see all this ark is moving. The people get out of their tents, they pack up their stuff. They follow after the ark. They follow after the presence of God. And where does it go? It leads them all the way down to the Jordan, the river Jordan, right? And let's just read that from here. Verse 14. So it was when the people set out from the camps to cross over the Jordan and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant and those who bore the ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priests who bore the ark deep into the edge of water for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. The Jordan River, right? Now, what is inside the Jordan River? Water, right? I mean, obviously it's a river, right? So you're not going to just like walk over the water and go, we got the river. How are we going to get from this side of the river to that side of the river? Now that is when you really need to follow the presence of God. Now God had given them instructions. The priests would dip their feet in the water. They're going to step into the water, right? They're not just going to touch like this. They're actually going to step all the way out as far as probably this deep, right? And they're holding the ark. And then what does it say? Let's read that. Okay, verse 16. And the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away. Everyone say very far away. Very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, which is the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now I want you to think about this for a second. Picture this with me, right? The priest stepped into the water. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to eventually follow them, right? Because there's a bit of distance that they're supposed to maintain. But eventually, you're supposed to follow them. But as the priest stepped in the water, now, let me tell you, this water, comes really from Mount Hermon, right? The snow on Mount Hermon melts. It goes underwater. It pops out at Caesarea Philippi, and that's the beginning of one of the tributaries that, you know, of Jordan. And the water comes down. It's very cold. I know because I have to baptize a lot of people in that river before, right? So now it's freezing out there. The priests are standing out there. Where does the river stop? Very far away, at this place called Adam, right? Upstream. More than a mile away upstream. Now think about this for a second. I want you to think about this, right? Has God answered the prayer? Yes. Yes, but the water is still there. And water is going to be there for as long as it takes to drain out that 1 mile or more worth of water. Are you following me? You see, sometimes when you follow God, we expect things to just happen like that. But you know, faith means you stick to it. You trust that God has done it. And I'm sure the priest, they stood there. You know, some of them say, you know, Joshua, it's getting a little bit cold here. Is it okay we kind of like stand up? You know, doesn't work that way, okay? All right? You just stand there as God has commanded you in faith, believing that God has already done it. Amen? You don't see it yet. The water is still there. But you know, after 20 minutes, after 30 minutes, maybe after 40 minutes, you start to see the water go down. And then you know God has already done it. Upstream, okay? And for many of you, God might be doing something upstream already. You just have to be standing in faith. Amen? Not wavering. Oh, I wonder, maybe I should change church, change pastor, maybe change Bible also. You know what? You just have to follow God and trust God. Amen? Okay, all of you, right? Okay, so this is number 5. Okay, you have to follow with faith. Follow God. Follow His leading, but with faith. Amen? Are you with me? All right, how many did I say that would be? Okay, all 6 are important, okay? So this is just 5. I'm going to take a break here and, go to the toilet. No, I'm not. I want to take some time to walk you through some of the special things that we have in this year 2015. And if you came this morning, well, congratulations, because you picked a great day to come to church. We have this limited edition calendar, which right now we're going to give to everybody. Okay, please don't fight over it. Every calendar is exactly the same, you know. No, yours is nicer. Okay, don't do that, please. Right, they're all exactly the same. It is limited edition. We'll never print this again. Okay, this is 2015 calendar. Next year will be 2016 already. So limited edition. Okay, it's a good calendar because in it you'll find every day of the year from 1st of January to 31st of December. We didn't miss any of the days. Okay, so please, just give some time as you all pass it out. Okay, if you missed it, you know, it's going to wave a little bit. I'm sure someone will eventually come around because it takes a while to, okay. Calendars are coming down upstream, okay. So it takes a little while to get to wherever you might be, okay. Okay, so those of you who already got it, you can see it's a beautiful logo right behind here, our Jubilee logo as well. You also find that on our website, which has been newly revamped. Inside, you'll find, of course, the calendar, but on the, I guess you call it the second page, there's just a little bit of write-up that helps us to understand a little bit about the significance of what Jubilee is. You know, what is Jubilee anyway? So a little bit of write-up, you can read that for yourself. Okay? Has everyone got it already? Anyone else? Okay, one or two people still looking out for it back there. You also find it, some of the paintings that prophetic art people have done, really quite nice, some of them. Okay. Okay. Now, if you get it, I will turn to it's the third page, maybe second or third page, where it says 2015 Coos Jubilee Calendar Highlights. All right. That's why I'm going to take a few minutes to go through with you the exciting programs that we have for this year. Now, I want to say this. It is not the programs that will carry us into God's favor. It is God who will do that, right? The programs are there to help us to do this together as a people, as a community, as a church. It is there to help us to grow in the process, right? But ultimately, it is God who does it. Amen? These things, it looks great, but sometimes, you know, it is not absolutely perfect in every single way. There are surely areas that we can improve, but, you know, these are some of the things that we want to trust God for, okay? So, have it turned to Coos Jubilee events/programs, right? Now, first thing you see here on the left is something called Jubilee 365. Jubilee 365 represents some of the things that we want all of you to do every day of the year. The first one is evangelism. Okay? The Jubilee is good news for everybody, not just for you alone. Right? So one of the things that we want to ask you to do is for every one of us throughout this entire year 2015 to be involved in evangelism. Now, when I say evangelism, I don't just mean going tracting and share gospel here and there and then no follow-up. What I really mean is this whole year, commit to getting one person who never believed in Jesus before, right? Saved and then integrated into the church, okay? Join your cell group, join your fellowship, and then come to church. That's what you want to do. I mean, you don't want to sow a seed and, you know, can you imagine a farmer, right? Just kind of chuck all the seed out there and I'm done. I finished farming. No, you're not finished farming, all right? You just sowed some seeds. Right now, you could be feeding the birds because the birds are outside eating your seeds, right? So, evangelism 365, all of us, and hopefully, at the end of this year, we're going to have a big bash, big celebration service at the end of the year. Hopefully, we'll be able to present 365 individuals who never knew Christ before, right? But in 2015, they accepted Christ, they were integrated into the body of Christ, and they're growing in Christ. Amen? Amen. This part is always hard to get people. Okay, all of you, seriously, now you think, okay? Try not to think about what someone else is thinking. Try to think of a unique name, okay? Because some of you, 10 of you think of the same person, okay? Try to think about someone unique and you invest your life in somebody else this year, on this year of Jubilee, so that somebody can know the freedom that Jesus had purchased for them. Amen? Okay, so every one of us, first thing. Second thing about Jubilee 365 is Thanksgiving. We want to encourage all of you to keep a journal of Thanksgiving that every single day, you find at least one thing to thank God for, right? One thing to... Now, you may, why are we doing this? You know what? There is discipleship in the classroom, right? But this is discipleship by doing. In so doing, you are breaking bad habits. You are learning to take on good habits, habits that will cause breakthroughs to be possible in your life. One of them is to develop, not just think about gratitude, but actually do gratitude, right? So one way, every day you think about, you know, what is it that you want to give thanks for God? Every day, right? So this today, you know, some of you say, Pastor, it's 12 o'clock, it's still in the morning, I haven't found anything to thank God for. Okay, you're not thinking hard enough, lah, huh? You know, yesterday I was thinking, this morning when I woke up, the sky was kind of dark, you know, and then when the sun broke out, I said, praise the Lord. Thank God today's going to be great weather, okay? And true enough, the weather has been fantastic this morning. Amen? Amen. And now, you know, Singapore is almost air-conditioned. It's fantastic, 25 degrees every day, right? I thank God for that. I don't know about you, all right? Some of you, I don't need. I got aircon at home. Every day is the same, okay? So, every day, we might even put up some web page and maybe a Facebook page. You can share your Thanksgiving items, all right? And we'll put some of the stories that you send in to info@coos.org.sg. We'll send that to our website. And our new website, we want to put some of these stories so that we can all collectively give glory to God. The third thing we want to do is the Bible reading program. If you look in your calendar, okay, calendar proper, you will discover that there are actually Bible readings, okay, Bible text readings, right? For example, December 1st, it says Mark 15 to 16, right? Saturday and Sunday, they didn't have, I suppose you'll be reading whatever the pastor is reading, right? But all the other days, so I've already started reading, and by today you should be at Genesis chapter 4, but I give you a discount because you didn't have this calendar before, right? So you go back and read extra, right? But you need to be following this, okay? So the reason why, again, you know, there's nothing that will do good for your life as much as the Word of God, right? No preacher can come and do more than when you read and understand and obey the Word of God yourself. Nothing more than that. People lay hands on you until your hair goes bald. Also won't help you. The Word of God, nothing will replace that. The Bible says, meditate on this law day and night. Do not let it depart from your mouth. So we are doing this. This is exactly what it is. We are doing this so that you will have prosperity. You have success in the Lord. Amen? Nothing does that. No. Self-help book will do for you what this particular book will do for you. Alright? So read the Bible every day. Okay, that's Jubilee 365. And I'm going to just move down. The next thing I want to talk about is Project 622. This is not a new triad group in Singapore, okay? So 622 refers to a very important program this year. Sometime just before, I guess, the middle of this year, right? By the way, this highlights only. There are many other programs that are not mentioned, right? And of course, with the Jubilee 365, we have ancillary programs like our CE programs, you know, classes that we're running, the Bible study programs. You can sign up for those, you know, find out more information at the admin counter if you want to, alright? But this one is probably the most important thing, because sometime middle of this year, here's what we're going to do, okay? Every one of you are involved, okay? Compulsory. Everybody is going to be in some kind of small group or life group. Okay, some of you may already be in cell groups, but there are many of us, 60%, who are not in any groups. All of you will be in some small group compulsory for 6 weeks only. Okay, don't worry, 6 weeks only. Some people say, Pastor, but what happens if I, you know, I don't like the people in my cell group? Don't worry, 6 weeks only, right? 6 weeks, once every 50 years only, okay? You can do it. Be strong and courageous. I can face them, okay? All right. So everybody is going to be in there. Hey, Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm the kind who wired to not like people. Okay, never mind. I tell you what you do, okay? You find a whole bunch of people just like you who don't like people. You form your own group, okay? We will register you, right? Now, more information will come out. But the whole point is that everybody has to do this. This is not discipleship by reading something, okay? This is discipleship by doing, right? And sometimes it will push you out of your comfort zone. But you know what? It will be for your own good. Amen? Amen? So it's going to be very exciting, okay? Trust me, right? Very exciting because, you know, some of you, you've never done it before. Well, after today, you have. After this year, you have done it already, okay? So we're going to encourage everybody for the deal. Of course, after 6 weeks, we like each other so much. You know, Pastor, we decided that our don't like each other cell group want to continue not liking each other. So by all means, okay? And appoint your own leader. We will come up with more information, but get this in your, get yourself ready. Everybody, yourself, okay? So if you're not in any group, you know, you're free to seriously get your own group of people, register, and we'll allow you to do that. That way we'll provide some program. The programs, the cell group meeting won't be too long. You won't end up like after midnight, the kind of thing, right? It's just very reasonable timing. Okay, so that's the six. For 6 weeks, everyone is going to do that. Two, okay? At the end of 6 weeks, we're going to have 2 weeks where there's going to be no services in KUS at all. No services in church. You come to church here, nobody. Instead, what we have is we're going to have 12 small services of KUS all over this country. Alright? We're going to borrow different places. 12 services. Each service will be probably a few hundred people, smaller groups, right? So, what this means is that everybody will have to serve. You know, you come to church, sometimes we are just spectators, right? We sit around, we shake our leg and we complain, how come the ushers give me a calendar, take so long, alright? Okay, don't worry. These 2 weeks, you get to be ushers. Right? And you can give out calendar very fast. Alright? So, everybody, you know, instead of one service team, alright, one worship team, we're gonna need 12 worship team. Instead of one usher group, we're gonna need 12 usher group. Instead of one group of people doing sound, everything times 12, everybody is gonna have to do something. Alright? And some of you say, but Pastor, I have no gift. Okay, you know what? We need people to switch on and off lights also, right? So we have a ministry of switching on and off lights. You can join the ministry as well. We'll find some switch for everybody, okay? So, everybody, the whole point is this, the church, the whole church must learn to serve. Okay, this is for your growth as a person. Now, you might find uncomfortable. Trust me, believe me, alright? I'm pastor, right? So, listen to me. If you do this, you will learn and you will grow. You are giving God a chance to mold you, right? So, don't be disobedient, alright? So, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks, okay? The last 2 weeks is really the next part already. The last 2 weeks is, In the year 2015, it's the year of Jubilee. Among other things, you know, we want to set people free from some of the struggles. And part of it is we are doing a program called Feed 5,000. So throughout this year, we're going to feed 5,000 people in our communities who are needy. Of course, we're not going to go all out at once, okay? Because you don't have something like what happened in Shanghai, you know, people stampede and all that, right? So we're going to break it up into every 2 months throughout the year, alright? Every 2 months, 6 times throughout the year, there'll be a feeding of 5,000 people. 5,000. There'll be, you know, kind of divide, what's 5 divided by 6? Anyway, you do your math, alright? Probably 700, something like that. Okay. We'll be feeding different peoples in Bukit Merah, Tanglin, Stirling Road, Mei Ling Street, Commonwealth, all these different places. And every one of you have to do this. Okay, compulsory. If you consider yourself a member or a quasi-member or half-member or a regular visitor, okay, you have to do this. And you will thank me one day. Okay, I'll tell you why you will thank me. Because when you get to heaven, right, the Lord is going to walk up to you. And He's going to look at you in your eyes. And He's going to reach out His hand and shake your hands. And you'll be wondering why. And the Lord says, thank you for feeding me. And then you'll be thinking, Lord, when did I feed you? And you say, the Lord will look at you and say, remember the Jubilee year when the pastor forced you to go out against your will? Well, thank you. At that point, okay, it will all come back to you, right? You'll be thinking, oh, thank God. Thank God that I was a member of KUS at that point in time. I was forced to do it. It is for your own good, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, it's for your own good. Okay, more than that. Okay, more seriously, all right? More seriously. Actually, that is quite serious. But more seriously, you know what? This is the one thing that will touch the heart of God. Okay? This is the one thing that will please God. You know, there are lots of stuff that we do that I guess God just kind of smiles, right? You know, we buy all these Christian stickers, you know, Christian cups, you know, we do all these kind of Christian-y things that I think God doesn't really care that much about. But you do this, you are touching God's very own heart. This is where God's heart is. So, everybody, okay? So, 622, everybody is involved, okay? No escape will find you, okay? So make sure you are ready for it. It's going to be fun, you know. Anyway, only once in 50 years, right? So, you can do this, alright? Amen? Can you do this? It'll be fun if all of us do this, alright? Okay, so, next one. Healing and freedom, right? Now, you know, it is a year of being set free. A year of freedom. A year of release. But some of us, we are trapped, you know, with our baggage. Maybe it's some childhood experience, whatever it is, there are things that hold us by unforgiveness, bitterness. You know, these are things that you want to deal with, that you want to release the chain so that you don't have to carry them. This is a year of being set free. So, among other things, you know, we're having a Father Heart conference to help people who might be struggling with these things. You know people like that. We have counseling ministries that we'll be launching this year. If these are people, there are people that you know need this, well, direct them to this, alright? This will be something that will help them. Of course, we're also not just looking at inner healing, we're thinking also of physical healing. So twice next year, we'll have two services, and this will be, two weekend services will be fully healing services. We'll have Pastor Derek come by, and so you bring all your sick people, okay? Bring the whole hospital here, you know, and the morgue also, you know, suppose, I told Derek, can we bring dead people? And he said, yeah, bring it on, okay? So, you know, just bring on, maybe we have to give out masks because too many sick people around, but you know, we're going to believe that God is going to do something wonderful, even as we respond in faith. Amen? Amen? It's up to the Lord. Okay, we just bring. And it's up to the Lord to heal them. Okay, there's that healing and freedom. And our next one is celebrations. I'm not going to talk too much about celebrations, but it is a year of celebration, right? That's why we need to be jubilant. We need to be happy. Amen? Amen? I'm looking at your faces and wonder how jubilant you are. So, I'm so happy, you know. Okay. I do want to highlight one item in this. There will be many, many different ones. Of course, one is JDOP, which is the Jubilee Day of Prayer, right? So for the first time, right, all the Christians, you know, Christians in Singapore are broken up into different groupings, right? All those people who go to Love Singapore don't show up in Festival of Praise, strangely, right? Those who go to Festival of Praise don't show up in JDOP. And all this, every one of them, well, all these different unity movements are finally united. And in JDOP, all of them are going to gather together at our new indoor stadium, which leaks water and the grass doesn't grow. All right? We are all going to go there. Okay? After we are done with that place, the grass will grow, I tell you. Okay? But, you know, the whole nation is going to be there. Right? And the Prime Minister, for the first time ever, will attend and will join us at that particular event. All right? We will be praying for Singapore's Jubilee. Amen? Amen. Okay. What must you do? Okay? Other than show up, okay? You see, KUS has a problem. We are never color coordinated, right? So we have our t-shirts now, right? All those t-shirts are to be used throughout for your feeding program and all that, right? When we're out in the neighborhood, we all try to wear the same thing. When we show up at JDOP, all 3,000, 4,000 of us, we're going to all wear the same thing. So that when they look, that's KUS right there in the corner. We can see they're all finally color coordinated wearing the nice Jubilee t-shirt. Amen? Okay, that's one of the things, alright. Of course, there are many other celebrations today. You know, I'm happy to tell you that we've got some surprise celebration. Like today, there'll be ice cream. Okay? So all those kids there, ice cream for you today. Adults also can ice cream. So far, I've not managed to get my ice cream yet. But, you know, we have surprises like this. Okay? Because God is good. Amen? The last thing. Okay, the last one I want to highlight is rest for the land. You know, the Sabbath. It's not just a Sabbath for you. Nor is it just a Sabbath for your workers, people who work for you. Neither is it just a Sabbath for animals. In fact, the Bible says that it is a Sabbath for the land. Okay, now think about it for a second. It's the Sabbath. How do you celebrate? How do you celebrate a Sabbath for the land? Well, here's how we are going to do it, right? We're going to actually go environmentally friendly, right? So, from this year onwards, actually, we're cutting down the printing of your fan, because when you come to the church, you know, you get this fan that you look at for about 20 seconds, and then you use it as a fan, okay? After that, you litter, right? So, we're going to cut down all this printing, because you know what? All these things that we do, our children will have to suffer for it, right? They have to live with the things that, the wastage that we come up with and all that. So, we're going to stop doing that, okay? We're going to cut down the printing as far as possible. Anyway, most of you don't look at the thing anyway, right? We know, like, right? So, we're going to cut down as far as possible. There are many other things. Whenever we have lights changed, we'll change it to energy-saving replacements, you know. We used to have a lot of bottled water, and once we run out, we are not going to actually use any more bottled water. Everyone bring their own water. Outside, you see that we have recycling bins, dustbin. I don't know if they got some pictures of it, right? That might help you identify which one. Okay, everything, we do it properly. Now, here's the thing. Not just us and office, but we want to encourage all of you, right? All several thousand of us here to be thinking all these things. We go home. Don't waste. Don't be wasteful. Sometimes we are, you know, we're really quite wasteful, right? So don't be wasteful. Finish your food, you know, and don't use plastic bags, for example. You know, those are going to go into some ocean floating somewhere or in some whale. Poor whale with stomach ache because we threw some plastic bag in the ocean, right? Don't do those things, right? And electricity, all these things, we're going to talk about this a bit more. But if all of us make this effort, you know, we could make a little impact. It may not be a very big impact, but, you know, we are doing our part to keep the Sabbath for the land. Amen? Amen. Okay? Alright? Some of you like your paper so much. I like plastic bags a lot. You know? You pray to God, okay? So about your plastic bags. Okay? So I want to continue here. Because there's still number 6, isn't it? Right? So I've said 5 things. These programs, I hope you join. It's going to be fun. We've got a lot of other stuff as well. Church camp and all that. But, you know, no time for that today. But there's the 6th one. We have talked about the 5 things. The 5, and every one of these 5 are important. None of them are optional. But the 5th one, if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, okay? And I know we are running a bit late today, but, you know, it's a special day, so I hope you don't mind. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until they had crossed over, that their hearts melted, that there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out from Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who had come out from Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua, verse 7, circumcised their children whom he had raised up in a place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. You know, it's interesting that you look at verse 12, what happened right after that took place was that the manna ceased on that very day. After they had eaten the produce of the land, the children of Israel were no longer had manna, right? The end of one promise is the beginning of another promise. Amen? Amen. It is the beginning of another promise. But crossing over that promise is this thing, right? So I'm going to ask the ushers to give out the flint knives. No, I'm not actually going to do that, but... okay, but you know what? Circumcision involves cutting, okay? I'm not going to describe a lot of how it works, but it involves cutting, right? Sharp knives, cutting away. So how are we going to do this today, you know? We're going to circumcise our hearts. But what are you going to cut out today? Well, I want to suggest to you a number of things that we can do, right, at the beginning of this year to dedicate ourselves to God, to circumcise ourselves before God as our act, our decision to say, Lord, these things we are going to do, right? So, you know, what are some of the things that we can circumcise? Well, I'll give you some examples. One of the things you can circumcise out of your heart is lukewarmness. Right, it's lukewarmness. Because sometimes, you know, to be honest, our Christian walk is kind of lukewarm, isn't it? It's not hot, it's not cold. But you know what? In Revelations, God says that because we're neither hot nor cold, how he wished we were either hot or cold, but because we're lukewarm, he will spit us out of his mouth. I don't think any one of us want to be in that category. All right. So one of the things you want to do, you know, you might have been lukewarm last year, but this is a new year. You don't want to be lukewarm this year. Amen. So you want to enter into a season of faithfulness. Don't just come to church once a month for Holy Communion. All right, come regularly in faithfulness. I mean, our Holy Communion is great, right? But you know, God is here every week, not just on Holy Communion weeks. Amen, amen. Okay, circumcise out lukewarmness, right? Backsliding. If you're always forward, backward, always defeated, walking in defeat to the things of the world. Well, this is the year to be victorious. And you know what? You can do it because God is with us. Amen? You can do it. You don't have to be defeated. Yeah, we might stumble. We might take a few hits. You get right up and we keep going because, you know, we want to circumcise out backsliding. Double-mindedness. You know, sometimes we are always asking ourselves all these questions that trip us up, right? I wonder if this, maybe this is not where God wants me to be. Maybe this is not where... You know, all these maybes, by the time you ask, you have this paralysis of analysis, okay? You're asking so many questions, you're not doing anything. Sometimes you just got to do the Nike thing, right? Just do it, right? So, you know, don't be double-minded. Oh, how shall I do that? You know, Elijah said to the children of Israel, right? He says, if the Lord is Lord, follow him. If Baal is Lord, follow him, right? Why do you keep wavering between two opinions? Why? So, circumcise out double-mindedness. Right? Spiritual lethargy. Some of us are kind of lethargy. I don't know. Well, you know what? Listen, you want to really experience God's promises in your life. You really want to enter into the success and the prosperity that God has for us. Right? This is not the prosperity gospel. But if you want to enter that, and God has promised that in the Word, you know what? You have to circumcise all your spiritual lethargy. Right? Because, oh, the ark is going, but yeah, can I go later? All right? Maybe I wake up later. Or can I go over there? You know, you can't do this. If God's moving, you have to follow. You have to just get yourself up and get going. Because that's the only way that you're going to enter into that promise. Amen? So circumcise that out. Doubt. Some of us struggle with doubt. We doubt whether God loves us. We doubt whether people love us. Okay, cut those things out. Right? Weakness, those things, just cut it out. Instead, pour yourself out as a drink offering before God. Okay, you tell God, God, you can count on me to rise up for you as a strong Christian this year, alright? Maybe in the past years I have not been. Maybe you have other things. Maybe you have unforgiveness. Oh, unforgiveness. We all have that, isn't it? And 2014, there were people that you didn't forgive since 1971, right? So, this is the year of Jubilee. It is the year where we cancel all debts, right? So, whatever it is that you have, bitterness, pain, all these kind of debts in your heart, you know what? Today, not just this year, today, it's the day for you to excise it. Cut it out. Leave it behind. Don't take it with you into 2015. Amen? So I want you to be thinking about this right now because in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up, right? Thinking about all these things that we want to cut out. Are there pains and hurts that you've been carrying around? Scars that, every time now and then you take up your wounds, you know? Oh, sayang, sayang. You know, 3 years ago, this leader hurt me. Oh, so painful, you know? Okay, cut it out, leave it there. Grow a new heart. Can? Can? Because you know what? It's for your own good. Right? It is how you will enter in the promise and not continue to walk with those things shackled around your feet. How are you going to run? You cannot run. Much less soar. When the Lord soars up, wants you to soar, you cannot soar because you got this ball chained to your feet. A ball of all the pain that you collected that you every time go back and visit again. Okay? Cut that out, leave that. It's gone forever. Water under the bridge. Amen? Amen. We are entering into a season of faithfulness, of obedience, of discipleship, growth, breakthrough. A year of God's favor for you. These things are not programs. These things, if you do, if you obey the Lord, God Himself will bless you. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up right now. Okay, when you stand up, just close your eyes. Don't look around. We'll just take a couple of minutes here, right? As you close your eyes, I want you to think about what you're going to circumcise out of your hearts this morning. How you intend to follow God. Old habits, gossiping, complaining, all those things, cut it all right out. Don't bring it. No matter how you've been defeated by those things in the past, now is a moment of change. Okay, now is the moment when God says, I'm with you. Be strong and very courageous. We are going to defeat these giants in the land, right? Because God will do it for us. So as your eyes are closed, thinking, bring those things before God. Just cut it out, lay them on the altar and say, Lord, I'm not bringing this with me into this year of Jubilee. I'm leaving them behind. I'm a new creation, right? I'm not defeated. I'm victorious now in Christ. Every one of us, we have different journeys. You struggle with different things. I'm sure each of you have different things. So you take a moment. You lay that before the Lord. And He's watching. God is here today. As we pour out our hearts to Him as an offering, as we live our lives to God as an offering. Lord, would You see our hearts even as we consecrate ourselves, as we dedicate ourselves, as we circumcise ourselves and resolve ourselves to follow You in this year of Jubilee. Amen. We sing this song together as our dedication song.
We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to You. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our
offer up ourselves to God. You know, we come to a time when we will take our first offering of the year. This is the first offering of 2015, our year of Jubilee. I want to encourage you to give like you've never given before. To give out of your heart to God. Alright? A generous offering to God. And I ask that, you know, even as you do that, give with cheerfulness in your heart. You know, God is no man's debtor. Right? So as we continue to sing this song, ushers will pass the bag around. You're a visitor or guest. Please don't feel obliged to give, but you're giving to the Lord.
We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to You. We are an offering. Lord, use our
The way they will usher in the Jubilee is with shofars, right? With the blast of the trumpet, we are reminded that we are no longer slaves, but we are free. So today, we have a whole entourage of 7 of them, alright? And all ready to blast the shofar. But before they do that, you know, it is a year of Jubilee. You actually have to be happy, alright? Okay, well, jubilant, alright? Because during communion, you guys look so sad. In case you didn't know, Jesus has risen from the dead. Amen? Okay? So, you know, put a big smile on your face, you know, let's have the shofar blowers usher in. We're going to a little bit more stuff afterwards, all right? They involve your participation.
Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord, come and go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come and go up to the mountain, come and go up to the Lord is here, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, the Lord is the Messiah.
Okay, that's just the beginning, okay? Alright, now you've sat there, you watched there, you clapped. Next part, you're going to be involved, okay? So as they go around, okay, after the flags, we want to pull people out and you can just follow. Remember it says, when they saw the ark go, just follow, alright? Okay, so when they go around afterwards, they will drag you guys out and you just make your way around, okay? Upstairs, I don't know how you're going to manage it, you know, but it's like, do your best, just don't jump down, okay? So, we're going to do that with this next song, okay? Just invite everybody. We have the shofar blowers go now, okay?
Together, come on.
For the Lord is marching on, and His army is ever strong, and His glory shall song. Praise the Lord for the battle's won. No weapon formed against us shall stand. For the captain of the host is Jesus. We're following in His footsteps. No foe can stand against us in the fray. For the captain of the host is Jesus.
Messiah's bed, the keys of victory in His mighty hand.
Let us march on to take our promised land.
We are marching in Messiah's bed, the keys of victory in His mighty hand.
Let us march on to take our promised land. For the captain of the host is Jesus. We're following in His footsteps. No.
You know, actually, we have another song. but, you know, before we do that, we might do that afterwards. But, you know, I want to just close out this service with these words of encouragement, right? And these words come from Joshua, of course, verse 6, chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. A whole new season of faithfulness, a new season of God's favor. And we're going to sing, of course, you know, none other than our top 100, top 10 song, which is our blessing song, all right? So.
The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you.
And keep you.
And keep you.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord bless you. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace and be gracious unto you. And be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace on you and give you peace on you.
Bless you and keep you, alright? And beginning of a new season of excitement, as you go out, remember to come back, okay? A season of faithfulness, you know, there'll be ice cream outside, don't forget that as well. And I will see you back next week. God bless all of you.